Thank you for that prayer, Brother Mike. Certainly was a great pleasure to be with so many of you a couple of weeks ago. Sister Lana and I certainly count it as one of those marks in our life to be able to be with you for that coming together of those two associations. In past years, we've been blessed to attend both associations at different times. And, you know, it's one of those things we always wondered. It was the same people at both associations. So thankful now that there's no more division there, and just thankful as we go forward that there's unity. And that unity seems to extend all the way out here to the left coast, because we certainly love being with you. We can't be with you in person. Being here on this service has certainly been a blessing. This evening, as our minds have had a thought, we'd remember over in the book of Luke, where the Lord was walking with those two men. And when they came to a place, it says that he preached to them from Moses and the prophets. He preached to them about himself. And as we consider those things and we look back at the some Old Testament scripture, where I believe we can see exactly what the Lord was preaching to them in certain places. And this evening, I'd like to look at a portion of scripture in the 21st chapter of the book of Exodus, as we look, as we would look to Jesus. You know, one of the things that we've been preaching lately is that we quit looking for wrath. We quit looking at ABC, NBC, and all those alphabet soup things that constantly bring us bad news. And instead of looking for the wrath in those places, that we need to look to Jesus. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Look to Jesus for our comfort, our love, the edification of scripture, that we would be bathed with in him, that the things that we say and do would be found good in his sight, that we would have that small, still voice from time to time say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." I'd like to look in the fifth and sixth verse very quickly. And it says, "And if the servant shall plainly say, 'I love my master, my wife, and my children, I will not go out free.'" This is the time of the year of Jubilee, right after the 20th chapter, where the Lord has given Moses those commandments, and he's telling Moses about servitude and those things going forward. And here's a servant, if he says plainly, and when you say something plainly, you're not saying it with a reservation. You're saying it complete confidence that this is what you want to say and this is what you mean. It says, "Then the master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door or to the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever." Here's a mark that is being placed upon an individual who has pledged his love for his master and his wife and his children, to the extent that he is willing to suffer the physical pain of this process of placing his ear on a door and his master boring a hole in his ear with an awl. Now, my understanding of an awl, it's not a penny nail. We're not talking about a safety pin. You know, I saw my granddaughter just recently had her ears pierced, and she told me all about it and how they did it. They would numb her ear and put the earring in her ear. But this didn't have any of that anesthetic, if you will. This was a painful procedure. And that awl was quite a large, flat, pointed instrument used in nailing things together, if you will. So here's this man who has the opportunity as a servant, whether he was placed into servitude by himself, selling himself into servitude because of his current circumstance, or if he was taken into. But at this time, he was offered the opportunity to leave his master according to these things set forward by the Lord. And if one loved his master, loved his circumstance, loved his wife, loved his children, then he could stay. And he said, I will not go out free. Then the master shall bring him to the judges. He shall bring him to the door and the doorpost, and his master shall bore his ear through with the awl, and he shall serve him first. So here we have an outward mark of this individual, and those that would see the boar in his ear would know that this boar came from his master, that he is a servant of this master. He belongs to this master. He has agreed, if you will, to serve him ongoing, and it says here, forever. So as we consider that Scripture tells us that the Old Testament are the Scriptures that testify of Jesus and that Jesus preached these things, we would have some understanding that there is a picture here, if you will, if we would look at Scripture in a couple of different places this evening, Lord being our helper. First place I'd like to go is the 40th Psalm. Psalm 40. And in Psalm 40, here's a prophecy. And it says here in the fifth verse, many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to us usward, they cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Let us also look at Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, the Apostle Paul here writing, and it says in the fifth verse, wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do thy will, above, O God. Now, you notice there's a difference in these two. And the difference in these two scriptures is in the 40th chapter of Psalms, the 40th Psalm said, mine ear hast thou spread. And in the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews, it's replaced, if you will, it's changed. And the Apostle Paul says, but a body hast thou prepared. So with that, I'd like us to turn to Philippians. Chapter 2, and in Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So now that I've read those scriptures, The thought here that we have is that in that very act of him taking the body prepared for him, Jesus Christ, it said, took the form of a servant. And we read of the servant back over there in the 21st chapter of the book of Exodus, and what that servant set forth, saying he would not go free, that he loved his master, he loved his wife, he loved his children. And in that mark was made, and he was pierced. His ear was pierced, if you will. It was bored through with an awl, that there would be an outward mark upon that man that showed forth that he belonged to the master. He belonged and he loved his wife and he loved his children. And so he took upon himself, Jesus Christ, the form of a servant. And in essence, he put his ear to the doorpost as he was put upon the cross of Calvary. We read in the 19th chapter of the book of John that they looked upon him who was pierced. And that is is written over in the 12th chapter of the book of Zechariah, in the 12th chapter in the 10th verse, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is bitterness for his firstborn. They looked upon me whom they have pierced. And as we consider that this evening, if we look upon him who has been pierced, it says over in the 5th chapter of the book of Romans that he commended himself toward us, that it was openly while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that was, as we look upon him pierced, it was on the tree of the cross that he was bore through, his hands and his feet bored through with those nails he hung upon that cross, went there as that man that came, the man God who went to that cross in our room instead, hung there for those hours suffering those things that he suffered, but knowing that this is the body that God had prepared for this purpose, for this hour, he says, came I into the world. And don't you know that these marks that he had after he was raised from the dead, that he appeared unto the disciples those three times, the first time Thomas being there and saying, lest I see the marks in his hands and his feet, I will not believe. And then the second time as Jesus appeared and he tells Thomas, here's my hands, here's my feet. And Thomas at that moment says, my Lord and my God, as Jesus was telling Thomas at that time and rebuking him for his unbelief. Brethren, that those marks that he bore in his body, that are those marks that show forth his love for us. So what is this for us here in our present time as we look back at that servant over there in the book of Exodus in the 21st chapter, that man had a master that he loved. Brethren, I ask you this evening, is there a master in your life that you love, that bore in his body those marks, herein is this servant that had the awl borne through his ear, that he would have that mark showing he loved his master. What is it in our time here in the church? What is our outward manifestation, if you will, setting forth to show forth that we love our master, that our master who loved us with an everlasting love, that showed forth that love, hanging upon that tree of the cross in our room instead. This evening, we do have that, that we can do that outward manifestation. One place it tells us in Romans 12 that we would present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. This is a outward manifestation that we present ourselves before the Lord in our very walk, that we would let our light so shine before men that they would see our good works and would glorify our Father which is in heaven. For certainly if we have any good works in and of ourselves, it's because God himself has born us again of his Spirit, and that we have the capability and ability to do those things that are good. For we know that all good and all perfect gifts come down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Yes, as we read these things and we see those things set forth, that we should have an outward manifestation in our very lives, showing that we love the Lord. One thing we do to show that love to the Lord in an outward way is we submit ourselves, if you will. And it's a very voluntary submission. This servant over in Exodus 21, it was a voluntary submission, but it wasn't just submission. It was submission to full servitude. That he was going to serve his master forever. And our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that one who came down from heaven to do the will of the Father. And that will that he did as he went to that cross. And he said, all that the Father give me shall come to me, and in no wise cast out, for I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me, that I should lose nothing, but I would raise it up again at the last day. We see here that he had a body that was prepared for him. And in that preparation, he knew. And as it says over in the book of Hebrews, talking about this one, that he says, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. And that enduring included the pain of those nails that were driven in his hands. Just as that servant had the pain of those that all going through his knee, his ears. But we are not called into those things, but we're called as a living sacrifice. We're not here, if you will, to die for the Lord. We're here to live for him. And in that, we have that to present ourselves. And one of the ways that we can present ourselves before God's people, if you will, to show forth our love for the God, for God and for our Savior Jesus Christ, is to have that voluntary submission that we would present ourselves for baptism, that outward manifestation, if you will, shows forth that we believe that Jesus is the Christ. You remember over there in the book of Acts, there was a eunuch who was going, had been up to Jerusalem to worship, and he was on his way back to his home, and he was reading from Isaiah chapter 51, and God sent a preacher to him, joined himself to that chariot, and it says that he preached Jesus to him. And when he preached Jesus, the eunuch had this response. He says, there's water. What doth hinder me from being baptized? Philip said, do thou believe that Jesus is the Christ? And that eunuch said, I believe. And Philip and him went down into the water. And then when they came out, Philip was taken away. But this eunuch did what? In obedience to God, that outward manifestation that he loved the Lord. He said he went on his way rejoicing. Brethren, don't you know, that's what the Lord told his disciples in one place over a 10th chapter of the book of Luke, I believe, where they had sent him out two by two. And when they came back, they were talking about all the wonderful things that they were able to do in the Lord's name. And brethren, we have many things that the Lord would help us to do in his name. But he said, notwithstanding that we would rejoice, not rejoice in those things, but rejoice that our names are written in heaven this evening. That is what we rejoice in, that our names are written in heaven. And when we rejoice in the Lord's finished work, brethren, we should have a desire to love our master, to have that outward manifestation by our very behavior in our life, that we show forth a voluntary submission to a full servitude in our Lord. I hope I've said something this evening to encourage you and cause you to rejoice in the Lord.